Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the effect of blue light on our eyes as we begin the show today. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest, he's been the CEO of 5 different optical-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, and an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. I know we'll talk about eye strain. I think he can help you with your eye strain issues and answer your questions about prescription eyewear as well. So join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or also post your stories or questions on our Facebook page, The Larry Miller Show. And Jim, welcome back to the program. Great to have you with us again.
Hello, Larry. It's always fun to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start out with some basics here. Blue light, it's all around us. The sun provides it, but it's in our devices as well. What is blue light?
Well, as you said, sunlight provides broad electromagnetic smorgasbord of light for us.
Yeah.
And gamma rays on one end, very short, radio waves really long on the other. But a tiny part of that full spectrum is what we call visible light. And not to get too technical, but that is, as I said, a very small part. It goes from about 400 nanometers to about 700 nanometers. And that's what we see. The 400 end is violet and blue colors. And the 700 end is the red color. You know, in grade school, they said Roy G. Biv, color spectrum. On the blue end, on the short wavelength end of that, is just if you get outside of the visible light, there's ultraviolet. And we all know the dangers of ultraviolet and sunscreen and sunwear to protect from that. But part of that ultraviolet is also important for our health. It provides vitamin D. You need a little bit of that, or most people need a little bit of that to be able to get, to get vitamin D produced. So there's good in the bad. Well, the same story holds true for blue light. Blue light is part of the visible spectrum, and we need it to see colors, but also part of that is important for us to be able to set our clock each day. And the brain and the eye work together when they see certain parts of that blue light to say, oh, it's daytime, wake up, get your body going, be aware, be happy, do all of those things. That same part of that blue light, though, normally in historic times or through evolution, has disappeared when the sun went down. Yeah. And in the evening, you have the ability to be able to calm down and your brain sees no blue light and says, okay, time to go to bed. Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, blue light is now coming from LED lights, a big source today. People use it in their home. It comes from television, maybe a cell phone, and whatever device you might have. And so your brain sees that, your brain and eye see that part of the blue light spectrum and say, hey, it's daylight, wake up, at the time when people are trying to go to bed.
Yeah, and so it can be bad for our eye health.
Well, that too, and that's where we're getting into some new studies and new science. There's people that believe that parts of that blue light spectrum are harmful all the time, and there's parts that I just mentioned are needed. Now, blue light spectrum is a range of colors, and so part of that, a narrow part of that, some people believe can affect your vision. The macular degeneration, there's been some connection to that, and they're doing more studies to refine that. But so people have the ability to be able to get rid of that light. It's very easy. They can put tints in lenses, and you can wear them. The problem being, if you get rid of all of that blue light, it changes what you see in terms of colors, and you don't get that color that you need to kind of wake up and get going.
Yeah.
They do make, people have, companies have seen this, and their ability to make a very narrow filter that just takes out what's expected to be the bad stuff. And you can get that in eyeglasses. It's a coating, so it can be put on most anything if somebody's really worried about that. The big issue, though, for most cases is rather than that, LED lights, come in various temperatures. The warmer the temperature or the lower the number, if you looked at the bulbs, a lot of times they'll say like 2,700 or 5,000 on the bulb. The lower the number, the warmer the bulb, and that means less blue light. So if you've got LED bulbs in your house and you seem to have this thing where your hand can't get to sleep, you may want to get warmer bulbs. And then, of course, if you're watching bright TV and you got it turned up really bright and you've got a big screen, you're getting more of that light, and that also could affect it.
Does it have an effect on, you know, just eye strain?
Well, again, there's a lot of studies that are trying to find what that is. Eye strain is caused by a couple of things. One, too much light. You go outside and you don't have sunglasses and it's really bright and you're squinting. That could be defined as eye strain. The other eye strain could be if things are out of focus and you're trying to focus and you're not able to focus on it properly and you're straining to focus. But the blue light, in terms of that, I don't know if I would, other than too much of it and needing sunglasses, I don't know if I define that as eye strain.
Okay, well, there are glasses then that can help us out.
Yes, the biggest amount of that blue light comes from the sun, of course. The sunlight is many, many, many times greater than what you might get from a television or a cell phone or whatever. You think of the orders of 10 in terms of the amount of light that comes from sunlight. And so that's the best place if you're worried about damage to your eyes. And then in that case, everyday sunglasses do a wonderful job of getting rid of ultraviolet and attenuating the visible light as well. You've probably heard of blue blockers. They've been around. It was a big advertising campaign a number of years ago. Those lenses have more yellow in the lens. And the more yellow in the lens, the more blue range is blocked. So if somebody has an issue with this, I would suggest they get a good quality sunglass and look to ones that are more yellow or brownish in tint. And in some cases, you can, you know, going to the manufacturer's website, some of these name brand ones will tell you about how much of the blue light they absorb in that. But a lot of them take out virtually all of the blue light in order to make it easier and less strain on the eyes. One other thing that can happen is if you remove that blue light, you can improve your contrast sensitivity. And contrast sensitivity is a part of vision that helps you see and define things. And when you're looking at regular sunlight, you're looking at a whole broad spectrum of light, these lenses filter out one part of it and allow your eye to focus on the other part better. So there is a lot to be said for good sunglasses, particularly the ones that are more blue blocking.
Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, as we take a look at, right now we've been talking about blue light and its effect on eye health. We'll take other questions as well at 1-800-642-1234. Carol in Milwaukee has one for you, Jim. Let's go there. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'm affected by seasonal affective disorder, and I thought blue light was good for you. I have full-spectrum bulbs in my house, and the other bulbs tend to be on the more of the blue side of the spectrum, and I feel better. So am I ruining my eyes, or, I mean, what's the balance, you know?
Well, that's a very good point, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I tried to begin my explanation of saying it's part of it's needed. And blue light is needed to tell your body that it's daylight and it's ready to go. And those full-spectrum lights are very important for a certain part of the day. Okay, the issue is that at the evening when you're trying to wind down, you probably don't want those in that because your body needs, if you have trouble sleeping, if you don't have any trouble sleeping, leave them on all day, that's fine. But people that have trouble sleeping, then you probably don't want to use those in the evening. This goes back over 50 years ago when I first got involved in the optical business. Fluorescent lights started to become real popular in schools and things like that. And the early bulbs weren't very accurate in their reproduction of light. And there was a lot of people that believed that they were causing children to have problems in that. And so they went to, some cases, they went to what they call full-spectrum fluorescent bulbs, and that's what you're referring to. And those do help. Well, I say this is some science to this, a lot of anecdotes, but that does help. And this blue light thing that you're talking about for SAD, seasonal affective disorder, is a real thing. And there's lots of studies that prove that that helps people. And that's why you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwash, so to speak, in terms of blue light. It is important. And those bulbs aren't going to negatively affect your eyes of anything that I've ever heard or that I'm aware of. Oh. They do help reset your time clock and keep you a little smilier wintertime.
There you go, Carol. Thank you for calling. John and Shano, thanks for calling. Hi, John.
Oh, hi, Larry. Glad to hear your voice is back.
Yeah.
Getting worried there a couple days. But say my issue, I'm 50, wearing reading glasses for the last couple of years. But it is night driving issues, especially. Tiny bit of backstory. For years and years, I was doing a lot of soldering and brazing of copper pipes for boilers and air conditioners. I'd always wear amber-tinted safety glasses. Well, not always. When I got smarter around age 45, anyway. But it's the glare. Night driving issue is a big thing with me now.
A lot of people have that issue, John. And Jim, is there any help there?
Well, first of all, I want to make a correlation between blue light and what he said with welding and brazing and things like that.
Yeah.
This goes back many, many years when people wore things to protect their eyes during welding. There is a component of welding, the light that comes off of welding or brazing and that is very detrimental to the human eye. And part of it's in that blue light spectrum that I mentioned before, but it's so intense. It's, compared to what you would get even with sunlight, it's extremely intense and it's focused in that area. And that can do permanent damage to the human eye. So anytime you're around that kind of artificial light, and, John should have been doing that when he was 15 instead of 45, it's really important that you have eye protection around welding or brazing or glass blowing or anything like that. So, and that is the blue light and ultraviolet light that comes off that can do permanent damage. Now, that being said, there's a lot of people with 50, 60, whatever, they get this night driving problem. Assuming that you've got the correct prescription, your distance prescription, then at night, a lot of this is caused by either the early part of a cataract forming in the eye, where the lens in your eye starts to get a little milky colored, and that you know, people say, well, I'm not that old yet. Well, it starts, at birth. And it gets progressively more milky as you get older and older. And it's not usually noticeable until people are in their 60s or 70s, but people as young as 50 can have that. So, the first thing I say is get a good eye examination. Make sure your prescription is correct for distance, for driving. That's extremely critical. And also have them look for early signs of cataract lenses.
Could I ask a secondary question then?
Sure.
On that note, I wear reading glasses to do the crossword puzzle and read the newspaper and computer screen, but my I did have a very comprehensive eye exam last year. My distance, my far, eyesight is just fine, but does the windshield of a car, am I getting to that? Anyway, does that make a difference too? Does that distort or change any?
Most windshields wouldn't distort enough to cause a problem, and they got to be clean. I say that somewhat laughingly, but I see people with eyeglasses all the time that tell me they have problems, and I look at their lenses and I can hardly see through them. So it's easy for people to forget that most obvious thing. Make sure your glasses are clean and make sure your windshield is clean. But unless there's something wrong with your windshield, you know, I know people that have had cracks removed, you know, where they were buffed and it had a distorted area on the windshield itself. But that should not be the issue. And there's a couple of kinds. Sometimes things at night, people get an overall foggy look, and other times they get like a starburst.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that this is worse at night is that your pupil gets really big at night. And in the daytime, and especially if it's bright out, your pupil gets small. You're looking through a small part of your eye system, and you've got greater depth of field. In the evening, your pupil gets big. It encompasses areas on the larger part of your lens, and so you might have a little bit of cloudiness in your lens on the edges, and that could be causing the problem. So
yeah.
if this is something new, I would, you know, at your age, every year or two, you should have an eye exam. But if it's becoming a problem, I would go back with specifically with that discussion and let them look at the lens of your eye to see if there's clouding in it. And if you've had a lot of welding like that, that could cause a premature cataract in your eye.
And, you know, I had a guest on my show, a mechanic, and we were talking about cars, and he commented on the inside of a windshield. There, you get off-gassing from the inside front of the car there on the dashboard, and that can create a film on the windshield on the inside of it, which I had. I got some Windex and cleaned it off, and it made a difference for sure, especially at night. I have just one other thing, a final comment on lights. Every once in a while, you'll be driving, let's say, on the interstate. The cars are all fine, the lights in the evening. And then there'll be one that is just bright and much brighter than the other lights. And the person doesn't have it on brights. It's on dim, but the light is piercing. And I'm not sure what that light is, but I don't like it.
Well, some of the early high-intensity light bulbs that came, they're aftermarket, and some of them are in the blue light range. They're high-intensity blue light range, and it is very distracting. I've had it happen to me, too, and usually not factory-installed lights or something that somebody put in after, either for a cosmetic look or for some reason.
But yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah.
John, thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, as we talk with him about eyeglasses and long-term effects of blue light on eye health. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45, we'll talk to a researcher who's working with cancer patients to motivate them to exercise more and hopefully lessen their chance for a reoccurrence. So I hope you'll stay with us for that. Now we're taking a look at eyeglasses and eye health with Jim LaLuzerne, CEO of 5 different optical-related companies. Great to have him back, and certainly join in. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. You can post a question on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show, or phone at 1-800-642-1234. And let's turn to David in South Milwaukee next. David, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for the show. And Jim, thank you for the education. I've got one of these portable desktop light boxes that's not much bigger than a large cell phone. It's got maybe 35 blue LED lights.
Yep.
And I'm concerned about that blue light. It says it doesn't give off any UV, but that blue light for about 30 minutes at arm's length away and 10,000 lux. I'm a little concerned about that. Am I being overly worried?
Are you using it for illumination, for reading or looking, or
to reset my bio clock because I don't?
Oh, okay.
Light during.
That, I doubt if you did it for a relatively, half hour, whatever it is to reset, whether that would have any negative effect. The amount, as I said before, compared to sunlight, is probably a small part of even sunlight, if you went out and stood in the sunlight and did it.
Even at 10,000 lux?
At 10,000 what? I'm not sure.
Yes, that's what they state that it gives off. They say it's about the equivalent of sunlight. And when I first turn it on, you know that experience you get where you get just a slight dim pain in your eyes when you go out in the sunlight?
Yeah.
I get that from that.
Well, that's usually caused by your iris getting smaller. When you go outside, your iris gets small, and there's a muscle that does that, and that happens really quick and really extreme. That's where you get that feeling from. That almost sounds like maybe it's too much if it's in 10,000 whatever. I'm not sure what they're... the equivalent of a 10,000-watt bulb. That sounds kind
That's
of...
the amount of lumens per meter squared.
Okay. A flashlight has 100 lumens, so
yeah.
I don't... that seems to be excessive or whatever, but as a general rule, if you went out in the sunlight for 10 minutes to reset your clock, I gotta imagine that there's more blue light in that than there would be in this device. I don't know this particular device exactly, but if it was me and I wanted to do that, I'd probably get one that was less intense and do it for a little bit longer if my eyes hurt when I turned it on.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, David, for calling. And Ray in Rhinelander, your turn. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Larry. Your voice does sound better. There's a lot of that stuff going around in varying degrees, and you just never know what you're going to get with it.
I'm still hacking and coughing, but fortunately I have a volume control here that I can turn down when
well,
I'm about to cough.
Radio, Larry. Radio Live, you have control. Anyways, I want to thank your guest. He's very knowledgeable. It's always a pleasure for when he is on. A couple things here. When you live in way north Alaska, which I have, north of Fairbanks, and you don't get that full light spectrum for many hours during the winter, and when you're when you have a 3 month period where you virtually have anywhere from an hour of light a day to maybe three, depending on where you're located, psychologically and physically, and that obviously, and it's been scientifically proven to have effects. Now, I and others have worked with different colors of light synthetically, and they've come a long ways, as your guest has mentioned. So have you heard of using blue lights in depression, synthetic blue lights, to upgrade a person's cognitive level with that? And also, as far as biologically, with the effects of it on working on the brain and the body, would you say that that's a positive or negative using blue light? I have found, even for myself, if I turn on some blue lights, however that may be, especially during the winter, it helps at times. So I know that's throwing a lot at you, but I've always been fascinated by blue light, and now I'm hearing that, maybe you shouldn't be.
Well, as the two of the people that have called so far have said that they're using light boxes that are specifically made to deal with SAD, or seasonally affected disorder. And people in Alaska, to my knowledge, it's very common to have this kind of a problem. So, yes, indeed, blue light is very important, and these things are valuable, and they do work. And it's the time of day that you use them. And I'll just say it again. In the morning when you want to reset your clock and get it going, yes. In the evening when you're trying to go to bed at night, it's probably not the right time to do it. Now, one other factor, and I'm jumping off of the optical here, but I do know that vitamin D is an extremely important vitamin, and a lot of people get it only through the sun. And so people in northern climates many times part of the problem is a lack of vitamin D, and you can take it orally, you know, and through food. But if you don't do it that way, well, then you need sunlight, and I don't think blue light is the one. I think you need regular ultraviolet light on your skin to create vitamin D. So there's a connection through all of this. Vitamin D is part of it, and resetting your clock with blue light is an important thing, and I think there's enough scientific evidence to say yes, particularly in northern climates when you don't have it in your natural sunlight, find a way to get it artificially.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Connie in Fitchburg, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Boy, this is sure timely for me, and I thank you. I am in between having my eyes, the cataracts replaced. One eye is done, and one eye is going to be done on Wednesday. And right now, the new eye, it's everything is, it feels like I have blue light totally. Everything is whitish blue, and with my other eye, things are peachy golden, a soft golden glow that I rather like. And I'm thinking in terms of what you're talking about. Maybe we were meant to have these yellowing, aging eyes to protect us in some way.
Well, let's get a comment from Jim on that.
I recently had cataract surgery. I went through exactly the same experience that you're speaking of, and let me tell you what I think about it. First of all, the yellow is caused by the cataract yellowing. And what you're seeing with the eye that's been more blue and clearer is what you had when you were 19. And it slowly got yellow over time. So you will, when you get the other eye, they'll both be the same, and you won't notice it anymore, and you'll be just fine. The lenses that they put in your eye absorb ultraviolet, just like the lens in your eye absorbed ultraviolet to keep it from your retina. So there will be protection for that, and the annoyance of having two different colors will subside when you're done with your second eye, and you'll forget all about it. So good luck to you.
Yeah. Well, however, I do find that the blue eye has huge flares with driving at night, and I have to, like, cup around my new eye kind of with my hand and almost like make a binocular if I'm trying to see something when it's bright outside to be able to focus on.
I have experience with that too, and let me add this if I could. That when they take the lens out of your eye, they cut a circle in the front of like a little envelope that holds that lens.
Yep.
And then they take the lens out and they put this in. At night, your pupil gets big, and it gets bigger, it's starting to catch the edges of that hole that they have. And so, yes, indeed, you will start seeing some flaring around the edge. It usually, as time goes on, it usually settles and goes away or minimizes. But that is, it's caused because the pupil is so big, it's night. The pupil is now in, your vision is now including the edges of where they had to cut to put that lens in there. It's, like I say, I can't, it doesn't solve the issue, but it is common, and it usually gets better.
Usually gets better.
Yeah, so I so agree with Larry. I think we need to start a campaign on those cars with those super bright lights.
Yes.
But I also did get the multifocal lens, and I am concerned that you do lose your very close vision then. Is that true? I mean, I now lift up my glasses to see perfectly for 10 inches in, but I understand that at least one eye has lost that capability, my fixed eye. Do you know much about that?
Yeah, well, I chose not to get the multifocal because I wanted a fixed vision, and then I can correct with my glasses to get whatever distance I need. And the reason I chose that is I know a lot of people that have gotten the multifocal lens and they're very happy with it, but other people have get it and say, you know, I really wish I could see better for reading and it's not quite as sharp for distance. And it's kind of a compromise for everything. And once you've got it done, you can't undo it.
Oh.
And that, well, I guess you could, but it's not something that most people would care to go through surgery again and change the lens and all the complications from that. So in my normal recommendation is to stick to a single vision lens. And one thing in a previous discussion I had on this show, somebody was really used to having near vision. They did a lot of needlework and stuff like that. And after they got done with their cataract surgery, they could only see near with their with glasses, and they didn't like that. They wanted to see. They said, "I'll see. Give me glasses for the distance, and let me see near." And that is an option that people have. You can get, when you get that done, you can say, "Look, I want to see perfect at 14 inches. Fix me for that distance, and then give me glasses for everything else." The lenses like you have that are multifocal, like I said, a lot of people are real happy with them, but some people get them and say, you know, even with glasses, I can't get it good here, and I can't get it the way I want it here, and you're stuck.
Yeah. There you go, Connie. Thanks a lot for calling, and good luck with that second surgery.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Ruth in Altoona, it's your turn. Hi, Ruth.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering, a lot of professions, you know, whether they're IT or people writing, clerical, professions that cause people to sit in front of a computer all day, every day. What do you have to say, in addition to possible early cataracts, about possible consequences of that for people? And then secondly, should people wear protection?
Well, the most things that happen when you're looking at something for a long period of time can cause discomfort at the time or maybe within a day or so, but they don't do damage. If you had some of the old computer screens, used to do you have a lot, you know, the old cathode ray tubes or whatever had some frequencies that people were really worried about. The biggest issue with that is, and you've been told this when you're a kid probably reading, when you're reading for a long time, stop, look around a little bit, let your eyes focus in the distance. You know, that kind of stuff makes just good common sense. You can get a pair of glasses that are set for the distance to the computer screen. They're just used for that application. I have a pair that I wear when I'm just sitting at the computer for a long period of time. Just makes it more comfortable. That same pair of lenses can have a filter in it, which will, it's hardly noticeable in the lens. There'll be a little tint to it, but it will filter out anything that you might be worried about for doing that. So there is filters that can eliminate any radiation off of there, and you can get a prescription for that distance to make it more comfortable. That being said, you should still stop every now and then and look around blink your eyes. You know, blinking your eyes is one of the biggest problems people don't do when they're in a computer. They stare and they have their eyes open, their eyes dry out. Blink more.
There you go. Thanks, Ruth. Thank you for calling. We had some questions online as well. John in Appleton emailed to say that to ask what lenses or glasses can be recommended for a person with nystagmus. And I'm not sure, I don't know nystagmus. It's N-Y-S-T-A-G-M-U-S.
If it's what I think it is, I don't know if it's spelled that way, but what I think it is an eye that moves quickly. It doesn't, there's sometimes that... people, it's like a tick in the eye.
Okay.
That moves rapidly. And there's no lens that I know of that can fix that, if that's what he's referring to.
I think that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, there's no lens that I know of that can fix that. Sometimes it's both eyes, and sometimes it's just one eye. And there may be something medical that I'm not aware of to help in that, but I don't know of any glasses that are made that could help that.
Paul in Grays Lake, Illinois, up next. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I've had trouble with the film on the inside of my windshield as well,
and I tried going after it with Windex and cotton cloths, and it just was so hard to remove. And I ended up buying a can of what they call professional glass cleaner, an aerosol can, and a microfiber cloth. And boy, did that make a difference. I you know, was kind of wondering about my eyesight, and after I really cleaned the inside of that windshield off, it I had much less glare. So I just thought I'd pass that on.
So professional, what was
yeah,
it?
I don't know what that means exactly, but it wasn't Windex. It's in an aerosol can. I guess it's a little more aggressive. Or
All right.
I think it was really the microfiber cloth, because the cotton cloth just wouldn't really remove the film. But once I used that microfiber cloth, it came right off.
Larry, you mentioned before that the outgassing from the vinyl and stuff, that's not something that Windex would probably get off. He's probably got a really good point there. That outgassing actually would put almost like a layer of plastic on the inside. And so a professional cleaner like that really makes sense. That's a really good
That's a good point. Really good Thank input. You, Paul.
Yeah, so before people start, you know, checking their eyeglasses.
Yeah, I think good point.
The other thing, I just, since everyone else has commented on it, I too, the brightness of some of the headlights these days, particularly the ones where people put in their own non-standard bulbs afterward, it's just, I'm finding it a road hazard at this point.
Yeah,
so I thought I'd add that comment.
Yeah, thank you so much. I agree.
Yeah, I'm wondering why they allow that. I don't quite get that either. So.
Dick in Delona Township, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I am almost 70 years old. I've had two cornea transplants in my life. And as a result, I wear gas-permeable contact lenses. I have two questions regarding today's topic. Does a tinted contact lens help with the blue light?
I think you can get a contact lens that absorbs more light. That being said, I would think that the best thing would be a pair of lenses over the top. A contact lens is very thin, and most of these things get rid of that light by absorbing it. And when you have a very thin material, it's difficult to do that. So I don't know your specific one that you're using. I do know that years ago they used to make contact lenses that absorbed certain colors, and did that. And you could check with your provider that you get them from to ask them that specific question. Blue light, a pair of spectacles over the top would be a sure thing.
There we go. Well, and here we are out of time. Jim, it's a pleasure. We have lots of callers yet, but we need to move on. I thank you so much. I hope we get a chance to do this again soon.
The sooner the better for me.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, bye now.
Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, CEO, as I mentioned, of five different optical-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, and inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. Great to have him with us. Well, studies show that there's a link between physical inactivity and cancer, and we're going to find out some more about the research on that topic next here on the Ideas Network.